T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2, WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com. Now, here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. We'll be here for the next 2 hours. Don Bailey Jr. joins us in hour number two, when Manny Diaz will be with us. We'll have a conversation with Coach Diaz in hour number two. That's when DBJ joins us. First hour, University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga will be with us. Also coming up on the show tonight, Gino Damari will be with us as the baseball team opens up play on Friday night against Rutgers. We'll have that game for you on AM 790 on Friday night. We'll have Friday and Saturday. K-Rodge will have Saturday's game for you. We'll be traveling to Boston with basketball. And Katie Meyer also joins us tonight. What a week they've had. What a day they've had. And we'll talk about all kinds of exciting things with Katie Meyer, from defeating Notre Dame the other night to Pittsburgh yesterday to a huge major scholarship gift that they received today to Beatrice Monpremier being named to a midseason list and winning player of the week. They've got a lot of good things going on for University of Miami women's basketball. And so that's the show here for you tonight. Coach L will join us here momentarily. Kane's coming off a hard-fought, tough loss the other day to North Carolina in overtime, a classic game, 88-85. You never know what's going to happen in sports. You just never know what happens when they throw the ball up in the air and then players take over and some wild things can happen for you. And University of Miami and North Carolina put on a great show on Saturday. The Hurricanes, I thought, outplayed him and outcoached him. Perhaps didn't outlast him, but what a great game on Saturday. With us right now is Hurricanes head coach Jim Larrañaga. Coach, good evening. How are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm good. And I was listening to you talk about the game on Saturday, and Chris Likes and Kobe White put on a show for all the fans who were at the Dean Dome and watching on TV. So, an incredible game.
Chris Likes scores 27. Kobe White scores 33. Chris Likes, they did everything to stop him. Pretty much had to tackle him in order to stop him. He was working against Nasir Little, who's going to be an NBA player, and he scored around him, through him, and behind him, and over him. And at the end of the game, I think they did tackle him, but what a great performance by Chris. 10 of 23 from the floor.
Yeah. Chris is a hard guy to guard. You know, there are a lot of guys that are very good basketball players that can't score the ball the way Chris does. He can go by you and shoot some acrobatic layups. He can pull up and shoot the long distance three. If he gets fouled, he makes his free throws. And he's fun to watch. He's fun to coach. He's fun to play with. And I know our fans love him because he's very, very popular on campus.
Let's go back to the beginning of the game on Saturday. First of all, we get on the plane on Friday. Zach Johnson is on crutches. Doesn't look like he's going to play. We get to the arena. It's an early game on Saturday. Still doesn't look like he's going to play. Maybe take us through your mindset and what your game plan was to keep the game as close as you did. And then what happened as the game unfolded, because Zach was able to play. But going into it, a lot of things were stacked against you.
Well, Friday, let's go back even to Wednesday, Joe. We played Notre Dame, terrific game. We really defended them well. We win the game, and we tell the guys, hey, we're going to meet on Thursday. We got to talk about the Carolina game coming up on Saturday. Got to do some mental preparation. And so we meet on Thursday, and we give most of the guys the day off, thinking we got one day to get ready for Carolina on Friday. Because it's Saturday's game is at noon, so it's you know, very early start. We don't have any chance to do game preparation on Saturday. And we warm up on Friday, and on the second or third play, Zach Johnson sprained his ankle. And my coaches immediately turned to me and said, "Coach, we got to stop. We won't have enough guys even to play the game tomorrow." And that's what ended up happening. We stopped practice. We told the guys just to shoot for 15 minutes. And then we boarded the bus to get to the airport and fly up to North Carolina. And even with no preparation to speak of physically, the guys just played so hard. And Zach Johnson asked me if he could just stay back in Miami to treat the ankle, because he was in a lot of pain on Friday. And when I talked to our trainer, Javier, he said Zach was better off coming with us so he could treat him on the plane, in the hotel, in the morning of the game, and even at the arena. So we told Zach that, so he joined us, but with no intentions of playing. And then 20 minutes before the game, the trainer and Zach came to me and said, "I'd like to try. I'm not 100%, but I feel good enough. I'd like to see if I can contribute." How about that?
Yeah, you never know what's going to happen when the moment when the adrenaline kicks in. He plays 36 minutes, makes a couple of huge shots in the second half. By the way, special salute to Javier, the trainer, did yeoman's work to get him ready to play. That was incredible. How about the game plan you put together against North Carolina? They had a tough time guarding you. You rebounded well, and they only got 12 fast break points. Really, part of the game that may have decided the game is, for whatever reason, and on a day we shot free throws really well, you're only able to shoot 7 of them, but your game plan, I thought, was magnificent.
Well, you know, Joe, if we go back in time, and I've said this to before to you about playing North Carolina, the North Carolina system has been in place since Dean Smith was the head coach back in the early 1960s. It hasn't really changed. Roy Williams has made some additional moves with the system. But for the most part, our game plan has been the same against them. So that's one of the reasons why in game preparation, I felt our guys mentally would be ready. And the key with North Carolina, they're the best team in not only college basketball this year, but in the history of college basketball, of getting the five-second layup, of scoring before your defense can ever get set. And so our first job is to get back and set our defense. So we told the guys only one guy goes to the offensive board, and that's Ibuka Zindu. Everybody else, the moment we shoot, we go back. Four guys sprint back. Now, the only fast break baskets they got were when we turned the ball over, Joe.
Yeah.
When we turned the ball over, they got a quick basket. But other than that, our defense got back and really prevented them from getting up and down the floor like they normally do. And like I expect they're going to try to do to Virginia the next hour.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun game to watch. Heck, you out-rebounded them 39-32. They're one of the best rebounding teams in the nation.
Yeah, that to me is what I'm really proud of. We're not a good rebounding team. Haven't been all season long. We made the emphasis. A guy like DJ Vasiljevic, who's not the size athlete of the guys he goes against, they're normally 2 or 3 inches taller than him, jump higher than him, or longer in wingspan than him. But he's been really rebounding and doing a great job on the boards. He even had a double-double against Notre Dame, 15 points and 10 rebounds. But to get back to the game plan, one of the things we try to do against the teams in our league that really pressure is try to isolate guys so it's really hard for them to play the kind of defense on us. You know, there's two teams in the league, Virginia and Clemson, who are getting ready to play, that really pack it in. But Duke and Carolina, who we've had a lot of success with, is because we get a chance to spread them out. And they're trying to pressure us. And guys like Chris Langs, Zach Johnson, they're able to beat that pressure and get by them to create shots for themselves and for others. So the players deserve a lot of credit for executing the game plan.
Chris was like a character out of the Roadrunner cartoon. They couldn't catch him. He was everywhere. Yeah. They couldn't catch him unless they tackled him.
Yeah, and they did a few times, yeah. Didn't you think?
Yes, I did. Quite frankly, yes, I think, especially at the end of the game, yes.
Yeah, I think, you know, for the fans who really haven't followed us closely enough, coming into this season, I think if I remember correctly, we've beaten Carolina 6 times. They've beat Miami 5. We went into Saturday's game having won 3 of the last 4 games in the Ding Dome. So winning there has not been, for us, the impossible task like it's been for a Clemson. Clemson has never won at the Ding Dome, and Miami has won 3 out of 4. So going into Saturday's game and with a 3-point lead with 16 seconds to go, we're basically where we've been a number of times when playing them on their home court. Last year, we made the game-winning shot with no time remaining. This time, Carolina was able to force the overtime and knock us off in the overtime.
As it turned out, it had this almost the same finish as last year. 16 seconds to go, about the same amount of time last year, maybe a little bit less. I think maybe it was 10 seconds last year. Joel Berry hits a 3 to tie. This time, Luke May hits a 3 to tie, and Chris Likes has the last shot, and you played it out. You got off a pretty good shot. Take us through the last 16 seconds.
Well, the question comes in always at that timeout. Roy Williams called a timeout, and we have to make the decision. Should we foul to prevent them from shooting the three? Now, 16 seconds is a lot of time. Most teams don't foul under those circumstances unless there's less than 6 seconds. So we made the decision not to foul. In fact, the referee, Roger Ayers, came up to me at the 16-second mark and said, "Are you guys going to foul?" And I said, "No, we're going to defend them." Then I turned to the team and said, "We need to switch everything," because that's been our custom. At the end of these close games, last minute of play, we switch ball screens, we'll switch any like sizes, and that was the plan. But Kobe White was playing so well and making so many incredible shots. We ended up, he came off a ball screen, and both guys stuck with him thinking he was going to shoot it, and he ended up making a very nice decision, a good pass to Luke May, who buried the shot. But like last year when Joel Berry made the shot, we had plenty of time to get the ball up the floor and score ourselves. And this time, instead of Jaquan Newton making the 3, Chris Likes had the chance. He is having a huge game. He pulled up, and the ball just rimmed out.
Yeah.
And Zach Johnson almost tipped it in at the buzzer.
Kobe White, the NBA could take him right now. They need a point guard, then call him right now. He made a shot in the second half, which I thought might have been maybe the shot that saved their bacon. I think you had him maybe down by 5 at the time. He hit a 3 on the far left wing going away from the basket. You were kind of standing in front of me, and I think maybe you even turned to your left side and looked at Chris and said, "Well, if he's going to make that shot." But it was a ridiculous 3-pointer that he made. And if he misses it, you would have been really in good shape.
Well, that was the thing. That shot, if it's the one I remember, was with the shot clock winding down.
Yes, yeah, yep.
And I'm like, oh, that's kind of just a forced shot, a desperation shot. That's got no chance of going, oh, no, it went in. And that's one of those, you're a pro if you can make a play like that. That's kind of the shot that Lonnie Walker made. You know, last year we won a lot of those close games because Lonnie just rose up to the occasion and made four game-winning shots last season to save us. And Coby White is doing that for Carolina this year. I mean, they've got upperclassmen like Luke May, the preseason conference player of the year. They got Cameron Johnson, who's their leading scorer and one of the best three-point shooters in the country. They've got Nasir Little, who's projected to be a top 10 pick in this year's NBA draft. And then Coby White, a freshman, 6'5", a point guard, the leading scorer, I believe, in the state of North Carolina's history.
Yep.
And he just rose up deep to the left side and buried a shot that if he misses and we rebound, we do probably win the game.
You know that they're 9-1 in conference play. It's the best start in conference play for Roy Williams at Carolina ever. Now, 9-1's, you know, is pretty darn good. But that being said, with all the teams he's had, I figured somewhere along the line, they probably would have been undefeated there along the way. But 9-1's the best start they've ever had.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting statistics if you follow numbers. Like, I'm going to ask you this, Joe, because it's coming up very soon. Duke knocked off Virginia, and now Duke and Carolina are in first place. When is the last time Duke won the regular season ACC championship? Not the tournament, but the regular season title.
I'm going to say it's been probably 8 years.
That's exactly right, since 2010.
I don't think they've won it since you've been in the league.
They haven't won it since I've been in the league. How about that?
Yeah.
And with all those great NBA prospects, with all they've been preseason number one in the country several of those years and didn't win it. Last year they finished second. The year before that, I think they finished fifth. Even the year they won the national championship in 2015, we beat them at Duke 90-74. They went on to win the national championship, but they didn't win the regular season.
I got home just in time to see the second half of their game against Virginia. And Virginia's plan for them was the Cavaliers were going to take away the inside on Duke, and Duke hit a barrel full of three-pointers.
It's the best three-point shooting performance that any Duke team that I've seen in recent years. Even when they had Grayson Allen and Gary Trent Jr., who were great three-point shooters, I don't think I ever saw a barrage like I saw against Virginia on Saturday evening. Everybody was making threes, and that was the difference in the game. You know, Virginia's defense, they take away the two about as good as anybody in the country. And you know who's right up there with them? Our opponent Wednesday night, Clemson.
Clemson, yep. All right, we're going to talk about Clemson. We have time to talk about Clemson and Boston College coming up. We're going to put you in the time machine when we come back. We'll go back and want to talk to you about some of the guys that you have faced when you were a player, some of the great players that you went up against. And we'll do that and have some great stories from Coach L when we come back here on the Hurricane Hotline. Let me talk to you for a moment about Williamson Cadillac. And Williamson Cadillac and Ed Williamson have been a part of Miami's unique community for over 50 years. And through those years, it's been their pleasure serving this community with the same essence that represents the people who live here, because Williamson is Miami. Now, you go to a University of Miami basketball game, Ed Williamson's going to be there, right on the floor. You go to his dealership, he's going to be there, right on the showroom. You can walk around. He'll point to different vehicles for you. You want to add some luxury into your life right now? Williamson Cadillac is the place to go. You can experience the new generation of Cadillacs, like the new 2019 Cadillac Escalade, the XT5, the CT6, the first ever 2019 Cadillac XT4. That's what I'm driving. It's in stock, ready for delivery today. Williamson Cadillac has a state-of-the-art facility. It is conveniently located at US 1 and 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto Expressway, or view their entire inventory online at williamsoncadillac.com. Williamson Cadillac, your premier luxury dealership. Williamson is Miami. Don Bailey joins us in the next hour. We'll have Gino Damari at 7, Manny Diaz at 7:20, Katie Meyer at 7:40. Hurricanes head coach Jim Larrañaga with us right now. Miami and Clemson on Wednesday at 7 o'clock at the Watsco Center. We'll have that one for you. We'll talk about Clemson in a moment. A couple of days ago, we were in your office talking about basketball in the older days. And you went up in your career, you've gone up against some pretty good players, Hall of Famers, some of the all-time greats. One of those guys was Julius Erving.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, before we talk about that, I got to mention, I was with Coach Damari of our head baseball coach today. They had like an alumni event. They have it every year. He had like 400 people. It was absolutely amazing. His players rubbing shoulders with all the great baseball players of the past. Alex Cora was there and spoke. So when you talk to him, be sure to ask him about it.
All right. Yeah, that was Saturday night. And they their first game is Friday night at 7 o'clock. And I know every now and then you're at the ballpark.
Oh, yeah. My wife and I love to go to the game and cheer on the Canes. But to answer your question, when I was at Providence College playing for Dave Gavin, who was a Hall of Fame basketball coach, he was our 1980 Olympic coach, and he's also the founder of the Big East Conference. He was my college coach, and in the first game of my junior year, we played at the University of Massachusetts, and they had a player I'd never heard of before, and no one else had either. His name was Julius Erving. And that night he had 27 points and 28 rebounds. He was unbelievable. And I thought to myself, he'll never have a game like that again. And instead, he had games like that all the time, and became Dr. J and one of the Hall of Fame players from the NBA and ABA days, and just a great player and a great ambassador for the game of basketball, and a very, very nice guy.
Now, when Dr. J and you played college, there was no dunking, and he was known for his dunking ability.
Yeah, he's the best layup maker I ever played against, because even when he couldn't dunk, he would finger roll it right at the rim, high off the backboard. He had such an assortment of running one-handers, and he converted that when he played in pro ball into dunks. He had huge hands. A basketball was like almost like a softball in his hand.
You know, I bring him up the other night. I was watching, I mentioned this to you, the Duke game, and Hubie Brown said Zion Williamson reminds him of George McGinnis. And McGinnis and Dr. J, of course, ended up playing together. And I don't know if Zion Williamson's going to be George McGinnis or not. McGinnis was a hell of a player. You also went up against some of those great UCLA teams. And did you face off against Jabbar? Did you go up against Jabbar?
Yeah.
He was Al Cinder at the time.
Yeah. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was a senior at UCLA my sophomore year in college. I had watched Lou Alcindor play in high school against my high school team. Some of the greatest performances I've ever witnessed. Kareem had in the high school, the CHSAA championship game, the city championship, he had 19 points in the first quarter. In the first quarter, and just was unstoppable. He led Powell Memorial to the city championship. I think it was 3 or 4 years in a row, at least three, maybe four. And then in college, he led UCLA to those three consecutive championships. And in his senior year, UCLA came to New York to showcase Lou Alcindor's talents in his hometown of New York City. We played him in Madison Square Garden in what it was called the New York Holiday Festival at Christmas time. A terrific game. I scored 17 points. My teammate Vic Colucci scored 36. We ended up losing to him. I think it was like 98-81. But it was close at halftime, and we played pretty good. And Kareem, I think, had 30 points. We had nobody that could come close to guarding him.
And during those days, he was still mastering at that point, starting to master his skyhook.
Oh, yeah, the skyhook was unstoppable. And, yeah, by that time in his career, he already had the skyhook. And that was one of the things. When Lou Alcindor was a freshman, in his first game as a freshman, it was against UCLA varsity that had won the national championship. He scored 56 points and was dunking it half the time. So the NCAA outlawed the dunk, and he had to start working on and perfecting his hook shot. And the sky hook is now what everybody knows Kareem Abdul-Jabbar for. He is still the leading scorer in NBA history. I can't remember how many points it is, but he played until he was like 42 years old.
Well, he was always in good shape, and of course the sky hook. Maybe it kept him away from too much contact, but he was an incredible athlete. A couple years ago, we were having dinner before the Boston College game, and Doc Rivers came in, and he talked to the team. And on his way out, and the players started yelling at him, "Doc, Doc, Doc!" And he turned around and he said, I think his answer was Michael, because they were going to ask him, right? Remember that they were going to ask him who was better, Michael or LeBron, right? But you have to explain to the players that before Michael and LeBron, there was Jerry West.
There are two players in that generation that I followed. Well, there was more than two, but two players in particular. For me, growing up in New York City, my brother Bob was a recruited athlete and went to St. John's University when they were top 20 in the country. And one of my first experiences in watching my older brother play was going to Madison Square Garden and seeing Jerry West, who was at West Virginia, play against Ohio State, who had Jerry Lucas and John Havlicek. And Madison Square Garden, it was a doubleheader. It was an absolutely incredible crowd, a sellout in Madison Square Garden. And that was the old Garden, not the new Garden on 34th Street, but the old Garden, I think on 49th. And Jerry West was just incredible. And so I became a big fan of his. I followed him throughout his career with the Los Angeles Lakers. I had certain basketball moves of my own that I basically was mimicking Jerry West. And then I had the great opportunity in college to work the Oscar Robertson basketball camp and actually match up with Oscar Robertson, who I was guarding, and Oscar Robertson might as well have been in the gym by himself. I was right with him, and he didn't even know I was there. He could do whatever he wanted to, take whatever shot, make whatever move, and then make it. And afterwards, I thought to myself, man, that guy is like not only everything everybody says he is, but even more. And that he was in his 30s when I matched up against him. He wasn't a young kid anymore. He wasn't like 25 years old. I was probably 20 or 21, and he was probably 32, 33, and playing for the Milwaukee Bucks and winning the world championship. So those two guys, you know, when people say, oh, different generation, they wouldn't do as good. No, Jerry West and Oscar Robertson were like the Michael Jordan, the James Harden, the LeBron James of their era, and they'd be doing the same thing now if they were young and playing in the NBA.
You just mentioned your brother Bob, and your brothers were really significant for your basketball career, right? And helped you, and basketball obviously became your life, but they're pretty significant for you to help you get going and because you were a good player.
Well, if it wasn't for my brother Bob and Greg, I never would have ended up being a basketball player or even a coach. When we grew up in the Bronx, there's six children in my family, and we lived in a small apartment in the Bronx, and everybody in the neighborhood played basketball. I had two older brothers and three sisters, And my brother Bob and Greg both played basketball, introduced me to the game of basketball. When I was in elementary school, I started following my basketball at the college level when my brother Bob was playing at St. John's with and the older fans listening to the show. My brother Bob was teammates with Kevin Lockery. And Kevin Lockery was the coach of the Miami Heat way back when.
That's right.
Kevin Lockery and my brother Bob were teammates. I watched them play. And then when I was in the eighth grade and trying to decide what high school to go to, I was invited to try out for a basketball scholarship to Archbishop Molloy High School, which was in Queens, New York. And I ended up being offered a scholarship. And my father told me, no, I couldn't go there. And I said, why not? He said, well, all your brothers and sisters went to St. Helena's High School. You're going to St. Helena's. And my two brothers had to convince my father to let me go to Archbishop Molloy because of the high school coach, Coach Jack Curran. And eventually they convinced my father. I went to Archbishop Molloy. It took me an hour and a half by bus to get there every morning. I left my house at 6:45 a.m. I got to school at 8:15. I left Molloy about 7 p.m. after practice, got home about 8:30, 9 o'clock every night, and then made the trip all the time. But Mr. Curran became my mentor and my inspiration for wanting to coach.
Here's my 7 degrees of separation for you, Coach. I did Kevin Lockery. I did a TV show with Kevin Lockery.
You did a TV show with Kevin?
Yeah, with Kevin for 2 or 3 years, yes.
Well, I got to mention another gentleman who was very instrumental, who we won a championship together. I believe it's his first championship. I know it was my second. And his name is Brother Kevin.
Oh.
And Brother Kevin is a legend down here in Miami because of his leadership at Christopher Columbus High School.
Right.
But Brother Kevin was my JV coach when I was 14, 15 years old.
Holy smokes.
How about that?
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. Wow. Is there a guy?
I just talked to Brother Kevin. I told him he needs to come to one of our home games and bring me some luck. We need to get a win.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about Clemson when we come back. Before we wrap this segment up, is there a guy, a player that you went up against maybe in college or as you during your career that really, really went on to have a fabulous career that you said, well, I played pretty good against him, or conversely, the guy that gave you the most trouble?
Well, it was the same guy. Because we matched up against each other. And I've told Chris Likes that Chris reminds me of him. And the player's name is Calvin Murphy. He played at Niagara and played in the NBA as a Hall of Fame player for the Houston Rockets, one of the leading free throw shooters, percentage free throw shooters in NBA history. The fastest little guy, he's about 5'9". And I matched up with him. I was a point guard at 6'5". And I tried to guard him. And I held him to 39 points. I scored 19, I believe, myself. And the one thing I tell everybody is it's probably the only game where I took more shots than Calvin Murphy. For me to get 19, I think I took 24 shots. And Calvin took like 19 shots to score 39 points. He went like 14 for 19. Plus, we fouled him a half a dozen times. So he was impossible, not only to try to guard, but he was such a nuisance defensively. I had a very hard time scoring on him.
All right, we'll continue. We're going to talk about Clemson when we come back. Before we take a break, we do have a question in on the Twitter. Can you update us in any way on recruiting? You do have a couple of guys signed for the upcoming class.
Yeah, right now we have two players signed, Isaiah Wong, who's having a sensational year in the Philadelphia Catholic School League. I think he has a very, very good chance of being the player of the year. And he's a multi-purpose guard. He can play the one, the two. He's very athletic, very, very fast. He's probably the best player that I've seen in high school at getting fouled and then making free throws. He shoots about 8 to 10 free throws every game because he's so quick at getting by the defense. And then we've signed Anthony Walker, who's at a prep school in New Hampshire, Brewster Academy. He's about 6'7 or 8. He reminds us of Kamari Murphy, very long-armed, lean, athletic, can defend, block shots. He's a little bit raw. He's young to the game, but I think he's going to be a tremendous addition. I think both guys will be tremendous contributors as freshmen. And then we have a bunch of scholarships, like 4 scholarships still, that we're very heavily recruiting right now and will be throughout the spring and summer to try to complete the recruiting class for next year. But we're very optimistic because even if we just sign those 2 high school players, we've got guys sitting out right now. Cam Bogusti, a transfer from Oklahoma, is terrific. So he becomes a part of next year's team. Rodney Miller, who's redshirting, who's lost 40 pounds and looks terrific. Deng Gak, who's going to be recovering and rehabbing from surgery on his knee. He'll be back. So we're very, very excited for the newcomers to join the guys who are sitting out this year to give us a strong incoming class.
All right, very good. We'll talk about Clemson when we come back. Clemson and Boston College are up next for the University of Miami. Clemson on Wednesday, 7 o'clock. We'll have that game for you right here on QAM. Back with more with Coach Larinaga right after this. Okay, in hour number 2, DBJ will join us with Manny Diaz. Jenna DeMar also joins us in hour number 2, as does Katie Meyer. Coach Larinaga with us right now. Clemson comes in on Wednesday night, and the Tigers have won 4 straight games. They held Wake Forest to 37 points. They held Georgia Tech to 42 points. They held Virginia Tech to 51 points. So it's all about the defense with them, isn't it, Coach?
It really is. And, you know, they were preseason top 20. They made the Sweet 16 last year in the NCAA tournament. They're the oldest team in the ACC. One of the bigger teams in the ACC. And listen to this, Joe. 4 of their starting 5 are 5th or 6th year guys. They're so old. They got guys 23, 24 years old. And they start 4 seniors and a junior, and those seniors have been around at least 4 and 5 years. So They had some injuries early in the season that cost them a couple of games. Early in the conference race, they lost at Virginia and they lost to Virginia and lost at Duke. So they're a top 20 team that's just really rounding into shape, and we're going to have our hands full on Wednesday night for sure.
This kid, Marquise Reed, he played well against you last year. He's averaging almost 19 points a game, and then Elijah Thomas, seems like he's been there forever, very athletic. He's averaging about 13 points a game.
Yeah, Marquise Reed is a 2-guard with great scoring ability. He plays alongside Shelton Mitchell, who's a left-handed point guard, who's also a double-figure scorer, and really, really tough because he is very good at making 2-point shots, like jumpers off the dribble, layups going right and left. He's also good at finding the open man. They're just a very, very good team. They're an NCAA tournament team, and they're going to be a hard out come NCAA tournament time.
Yeah, giving up just 64 points per game, and they pack it in on you, right?
They play the same defense as Virginia, but with some twists. Like Virginia likes to what we call 4-5 trap, which means if you post feed like we do to Avuka Zundu, they're going to send another man to trap him so he can't score. Additionally, Brad Brunell, who I've coached against, my staff and I have coached against him for the last like 12 years. He was the head coach of UNC Wilmington, and we had some huge battles with them to win the conference. And they're the most physical team. We were a very physical team. We're not this year. We're not as big as we had planned on being. But they're very, very physical. I'm guessing they're going to select one guy on a team, maybe Chris likes, maybe Zach Johnson, and try to deny him all over the court. That's what Brad Brunell likes to do. He tries to, like, take away your best player or your best shooter and deny him everywhere. They like to switch ball screens. They are very physical. They pound the ball inside. They're number one in the ACC in scoring in the post. So there's a lot of teams that are big in our league that don't score directly on post feeds. But with Elijah Thomas and Amir Sims, they got two of the best scoring postmen in the conference.
That will be Wednesday night at 7 o'clock at the Wasco Center. We'll be on hand for that. Pre-game begins at 6:30. After that, the next game is Sunday at Boston College, and they can score the ball. Of course, they have the great guard play. They'll present a lot of problems trying to slow them down, right?
Well, Kai Bowman, to me, is the best point guard scorer rebounder maybe in the country. I know there's other guys who can score like him, but they don't rebound like him. There might be some guards who rebound like him, but they don't score like he does. But that combination of scoring and rebounding makes him a handful. And Boston College and Miami, like last year, the game was won or lost on the last shot, both games. And chances are it'll be that way this year. Two teams match up very well with each other. We battle very, very hard with them. Their head coach, Jim Christian, I've coached against him for years and years when he was at Kent State before he got to Boston College. So it should be a great matchup. And going to Boston, I normally would love to see my grandchildren because my son's with the Celtics. But it's All-Star break, and they're going on vacation.
Last year, you were you got ill before the game. Do you think were you surprised that Bowman came back?
I really was. I thought for sure he'd be a first or second round draft pick, and he decided to come back. And I hope for him it was a good decision. Chances are. He'll have a chance to come back. He's only a junior, so he could come back again, complete his senior year, get his degree, or, you know, maybe put his name in for the draft. Not sure what he'll do. But he's a really, really good player.
Yeah, he's really explosive. And they like to shoot the three. That's what Jim Christian likes to do, right? Spread you out a little bit and shoot the three ball.
Yeah, they shoot a lot of threes. I don't know if you saw the game the other day. They were playing Duke, and Kai Bowman got a rebound, dribbled out, and he just went to the basket and dunked it on him. On a fast break, with all those guys hustling to get back, he just dunked it right on them.
Yeah, I was going to say, sometimes you say for a guy like that, you got to stop the ball, or stop him, but he just goes over the top of you.
Yeah, and, you know, he's from North Carolina. So, you know, I think when he plays North Carolina and Duke, he's fired up because neither one of them recruited him for basketball. I think North Carolina did recruit him for football.
Well, I can see why. I always ask you about tough times, about the morale of your team, but you've done a good job keeping the morale up, and I thought when we got back the other night, you gave them a pretty good message about how they performed against North Carolina and what was coming up this week to keep their morale going.
Yeah, you know, I told them, Joe, there's no moral victories, but I feel like we outplayed our opponent on Saturday. We out-rebounded them. We shot 100% from the foul line. We shot great from the field. We shot great from three-point range. We executed our game plan. I couldn't expect any more from our team. The only thing we didn't do is we didn't win because Carolina made that last shot. So I love our guys. I love the way they're competing. This has been a very rough season in terms of wins and losses. But We're trying to focus all of our attention on the second round of games. We have 7 games remaining for the regular season, and would really, really like to finish on a positive note.
Who do you like tonight? I think you took a lot out of North Carolina, so I think it'd be interesting to see what happens in the next 5 minutes as Virginia goes in there tonight.
Well, Virginia is certainly a better defensive team than us, but North Carolina is on a roll. As you said earlier, they're 9-1 in conference play, the best start for a Roy Williams team since he got to the ACC. Oh, I look forward to that being a tremendous game. I don't think it'll get 88-85 like it did with us. It might get in the 70s, but both those teams have very good scorers. You know, you think of DeAndre Hunter, Kyle Guy, and Ty Jerome, you know, and then Braxton Key comes off the bench. He can really score. I don't know who to pick, but I think it'll be a great game.
Well, you did an unbelievable job on Saturday with your team, a game that I thought you won. I kind of chalk it up in my own mind as a victory. I'll take it as a moral victory. It was great theater. I hope we properly articulate to the audience what you were up against on Saturday, because it was a very, very unique situation. But you put together a game plan of the ages, and was one hell of a game. So look forward to Wednesday night's game against Clemson and then Sunday against Boston College. Thanks for joining us tonight.
All right, Joe. Thanks so much. And I hope our fans are going to join us at the Watsco Center Wednesday night, because it's going to be a battle royale against the Clemson Tigers.
All right, that's University of Miami head coach Jim Larrañaga. We thank Coach L for being with us. When we come back, we'll talk baseball. Baseball season starts on Friday night. Milkshakes and baseball. Gino DeMori coming up next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.